Christmas. So we'll take a listen. And then we'll round off the hour with an episode of The Court of the Dragon, both from the new suspense series. So sit back, relax, and enjoy some spoken word entertainment here on CITR 101.9 FM.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Your favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder Magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
Tonight, we take pleasure in bringing you Suspense, a weekly anthology of notable melodramas from stage and screen, fiction and radio, presented each week to bring you to the edge of your chair, to keep you in suspense. Here at Suspense, we bring you tales to terrify each week. But in honor of the holiday season, tonight we're doing something a little different. Instead, we will be telling you three heartwarming stories of friendship and family, presents and well wishes in the Yuletide spirit. Our first story involves a dream many of us have had, spending the season on a tropical island.
What shall we do with a drunken sailor? What shall we do with a drunken sailor? What shall we do with a drunken sailor?
Drown him in the ocean?
What shall we do with a drunken sailor? What shall we do with a drunken sailor?
Ugh, this is the worst vacation ever.
What shall we do with a drunken sailor?
Worse than that Adriatic cruise with those Albanian identical twins? The ones who followed us everywhere?
Oh, way worse than that, Hermy baby.
Hermione, is there any beer left in the cooler?
Yes, there's one left. Here, why don't you have it?
Thanks.
Worse than Cozumel?
What was wrong with Cozumel?
Don't you remember the Montezuma's Revenge?
Oh, yes, but, you got it, and I didn't.
Thanks a lot, Daffy. Daphne, can I borrow some of your lotion?
Of course, Grace. There's only a little left, but please feel free to use it up, okay?
Thanks.
Then what about Paris?
Paris? We've never been to Paris together. Oh, just who have you been globetrotting with behind my back, my dear?
That's a story for another time.
Uh-huh. Look, regardless, this is definitely our worst vacation ever.
Hey, it's not my fault. You said you wanted to go to Christmas Island.
No, I said I wanted to spend Christmas on an island.
Well, Christmas Island is an island.
Yes, an island where crabs outnumber the human population by 1,000 to 1.
Ooh, given your current mood, you should fit right in with them.
Now, rise right up, boys, for Liverpool town. You'll blow the man down. We'll blow the man up. And blow the man down. Oh. Give us some time to blow the man down.
Did he just say what I think he said?
I stopped paying attention to Captain Blair there hours ago.
Oh, his name's not Blair. It's Frank.
First or last?
I'm not sure.
Bless you.
Thanks. I think I must be allergic to your lotion, Daphne.
Oh. I'm sorry?
Farewell and adieu to you, fair Spanish ladies. Farewell and adieu to you, ladies of Spit.
Wow.
Farewell and adieu to you, fair Spanish ladies. Farewell and adieu to you, ladies of Spain, Spain.
Okay, how did we even find this guy?
Grace set it up.
Oh, well, thank you, Grace.
It was the least I could do. You got a perfect score on Welp, and just look at this review. Everything you could ever want in a cruise.
Clean sea, sunshine, and sea shanties galore. Arr.
Wait, the review actually says R at the end?
Three guesses as to who wrote it himself. And anyway, that review's way off.
Achoo. Bless you.
And just what's off about it, eh? And you're not getting enough sea shanties to suit your fancy?
Oh, good God. No, I mean, we haven't seen one ray of sunshine all week.
And that stench? It smells like that fish rotting on the beach.
Well, I assure you, Ash, that's not the case, miss. We're 50 miles southeast of Christmas Island. There's no a spit of land between here and Australia, all right?
Then what about the one directly in front of us?
Eh?
She said there is land straight in front of us. Bless you.
What's that you say?
We're about to run aground.
Land ho!
Is everyone okay?
I am.
Captain?
He sung his last sea shanty.
Oh no, what happened?
We ran into an island.
No, I mean what happened to the captain?
It looks like he broke his neck when we hit.
I would have thought that as drunk as he was, he'd have gone limp when we ran aground.
His neck sure did.
Daffy!
Well, it did.
What are we gonna do?
Let's try the radio.
The radio's on the fritz.
Huh?
The radio's not working.
Then why didn't you say that in the first place?
What are we gonna do now? Even if we could contact someone, we don't know where we are.
He did say that we are about 50 miles southeast of Christmas Island.
Yes, and he also said there wasn't a spit of land between us and Australia.
Okay. You're gonna think I'm crazy, but hear me out. Bless you.
I already think you're crazy, so let's hear it.
All right. I think we are back on Christmas Island.
And just how did you arrive at this conclusion, Hermie baby?
Simple. I've seen maps. There's no land anywhere near Christmas Island. We haven't been sailing long enough to go anyplace else. And Captain Frank, God rest his soul, was drunk enough that he could have easily looped back and not even realized it.
I don't recognize any landmarks.
Well, maybe we're just not seeing them. It's getting dark after all.
Uh-huh. So what do you suggest?
Let's walk a little bit inland and see what we find.
Oh, if I had a better suggestion, I'd make it. Grace?
Anything is better than doing nothing.
Bless you. Well, shall we, ladies?
We've been walking for hours.
It's been 25 minutes.
Now you know what it sounds like to listen to you, Daffy.
What was that?
Nothing. Nothing.
Oh, that's good, because even though the ground's not nearly as wet as along the shore, I'm sure I could scrape up a mud ball to fling it at you.
Bless you. Listen. Do you hear something? Off in the distance?
Yeah. It sounds like voices.
I must have been right. We are back on Christmas Island.
Yes. And that's probably Santa loading up his sleigh right now.
That's not Santa.
What the? They're
giant fish men. Wow, at least 1,000 of them.
Right now.
They're just fishmen. We Brits lived through the Blitz.
What are you talking about? Your parents weren't even born during World War II.
Not the point. I just mean we're not easily perturbed, certainly not by a couple of overgrown flounders. I think the 10-footer doing all the talking must be the Dagon they keep shouting about.
How do you fear?
That sounds like a name, doesn't it?
Dagon. Ognar. Nach Shalarnor, Adal Ash Azavavu, Yam Volgodonum, O Vatsmasha Nakya, O Yavum, La Volamach, Vlodogov, La Yam, Savalgalaland, Vlodog, Dagon.
You know, I'm guessing this island just rose up out of the ocean. It must have. You can still see the ooze and slime from the bottom glistening all over their scaly bodies.
Ugh. I think I'm gonna throw up.
I think I'm gonna scream. Yep, I'm gonna scream.
No. No screaming, okay? If they hear us, we are as good as dead. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm gonna take my hand off your mouth. No screaming, right?
No screaming.
Okay.
Oh, bugger. Run?
They're gaining on us!
Stop looking back! You lose ground to them every time you do!
I can't help it!
Well, try!
Besides, if you keep looking back, you're bound to... trip.
Grace! Help me!
We can't! They're nearly on us!
But
just keep running!
Okay!
Thank you.
The tide is rolling in. We have to get on the boat before he drifts out to sea.
But then stop talking and run faster.
Okay. Okay. We are aboard. Now what?
Well, now we get away from this blasted island.
And just how do we do that?
Well, we need to hit the starter. And reverse the engine. Like so.
How did you know how to do that?
Oh, I was a Sea Scout.
Really?
Well, that and it says reverse right here in big letters.
We are loose. Now we go back the way we came. Due northwest, I think?
Sounds like a plan. Listen, now that we have a minute, I just wanted to tell you how sorry I am about Grace. I know you two were very close.
Hmm?
Grace. You know, your friend, Grace.
I wouldn't say we were close exactly. I was just being nice to her on your account.
On my account? Why? She was your friend.
My friend? I thought she was your friend.
I'd never seen her before in my life until we got to Christmas Island.
Well, then it serves her right that those fishmen ate her.
What?
I've been paying for her drinks all week.
Okay, still, wishing her to be eaten seems a bit harsh, doesn't it?
She also used your credit card to book this cruise.
I hope those fishmen ate her alive.
Look, there's no use being bitter about it. Water under the bridge and all that.
Yeah, you're right. Besides, I can say that my card was stolen and used to book this cruise without my knowledge.
Yep.
Hermie, baby.
Yes, Daffy?
You know how I said I thought that the 10-foot fishman was Dagon?
Yeah?
May have been mistaken.
Why did you say that?
Because I think the 100-foot monster that just surfaced behind us is Dagon.
Huh?
Of course, the vast majority aren't sufficiently well-heeled enough to be able to jet off to the South Seas for an end-of-year vacation. Instead, we're at our jobs. But we can still find merriment aplenty with our beloved co-workers, as you will learn in our second tale.
Do we have any of those snowball cookies left?
You asked that 5 minutes ago. Has anyone gone home to make a new batch since then?
How about the gingerbread men?
That's sexist. They're not gender specific.
Okay then, how about the rum balls? Do we have any of them?
In this office? They were the first things to go.
Well then, how about the...
The only thing we have left is that god-awful fruitcake of Bernice's.
Hey, I spent days on that. Soaking the fruit, chopping the nuts.
It's the same Hickory Farms fruitcake I bought you 2 years ago.
Wait, didn't I buy you a Hickory Farms fruitcake 4 years ago, Jesper?
I can't remember every bit of minutia involving this place.
Of course you can. It's what you do.
Yeah, about everything. That and the obsessive counting.
And the muttering. Always with the muttering.
Oh, I know what we can do. We can sing Christmas carols.
I know what we can do. Shut up.
Hey, don't yell at Violet.
Yeah, leave her alone.
So you guys want to sing Christmas carols, huh?
Oh, good heavens, no.
Hey, if no one's gonna eat that fruitcake...
It's all yours, Jimmy.
It's 3:45. Why can't we just go home?
Because it's still a work day and we're already letting you out 30 minutes early.
Oh. Hi, Chad.
We? When did you get promoted to upper management?
Soon enough. And anyway, you don't want to leave before we do the gift exchange, do you?
Is this a trick question?
I vote yes.
Too bad for you. This office isn't a democracy.
Too bad for us. We have a tin dictator for a supervisor.
I'll remember you said that when I hand out the presents.
Like I care.
You will. Oh, yes, you will.
Could we just get this over with?
Yes, this forced holiday cheer has given me a rash.
That's just because you haven't let the spirit of the season into your heart.
Violet's right. Why don't you try and enjoy each other's company?
Because it's 10 minutes till quitting time on Christmas Eve, and we're all looking forward to being with people we don't actively loathe.
Well, maybe this will put you in a better mood. Time for the gift exchange. Did everyone bring the item they were assigned to purchase?
Yes.
Wrapped?
Yes.
Excellent. Then put them all here on my desk and we'll begin. Is everybody ready?
In the name of heaven, can we get this over with?
Jesper, you're first. Here.
A frying pan? I don't even cook.
Merry Christmas. Jimmy, you're next.
I got a rock.
It's a paperweight. Ooh,
ooh, ooh. Violet, the whole idea of doing a secret Santa is so that no one will know who purchased their gift.
Sorry.
It's all right. But just for that, now you get this.
Oh, a bumblebee hair clippy. I love it.
You won't in a minute. Bernice, this is for you.
A set of kitchen knives?
You can use them to chop nuts for your homemade fruitcake next year.
Merry Christmas! Chloe, this is for you.
A replacement for that red crystal serving bowl of mine that someone stole. Wait, this is the red crystal serving bowl of mine that someone stole.
Why is everyone looking at me?
We weren't until you said that.
Well, you got it back, and that's what matters, right?
Uh-huh. And finally, Gladys.
A gift card to Craft Cottage? That's not so bad.
I'll see if you're saying that in a minute.
I'll trade you, Gladys.
No trading! Not until after I give you the other part of your Christmas bonus.
The other part of our Christmas bonus?
Yes! As you know, profits have been down the last quarter, and as a result, costs need to be cut somewhere. But here's the good news. 5 of you are going to get to keep your jobs.
But there are 6 of us.
And it's observations like that, Jimmy, that make the odds of you being 1 of the 5 not that good.
So Mr. Valance is firing one of us on the day before Christmas?
Questioning the boss's plans, Gladys? Sounds like you're volunteering to be the one.
No, I'm not volunteering to be the one.
So how is Mr. Valance going to decide who gets let go?
He didn't say, but I thought I'd take a little initiative and came up with an idea of my own.
Oh, this should be good.
It is. And I expect Mr. Valance to be so impressed with my idea that I get a promotion out of it.
You get promoted and one of us gets fired? That's not fair.
Life isn't fair. But don't worry. You all have a say in the decision. And that say is going to be directly related to your Secret Santa gifts.
Huh?
Just look at what you all have in your hands right now.
Yeah? What about it?
Jesper there has a frying pan. Bernice has a set of knives. Chloe has a heavy crystal bowl. Jimmy has a rock.
Paperweight.
So, I just need to leave the office for a few minutes and let the 6 of you figure out who is going to get the axe, so to speak.
Are you saying what I think you're saying?
Sure am. Bet you wish you didn't have that gift card right now.
Wait, you expect us to pick one person to murder just so the rest of us can keep our crappy jobs?
I'm okay with it. What? I don't like any of you anyway.
And you expect Mr. Valance to promote you for this?
I sure do. He knows how cutthroat the business world is.
I don't think it's meant to be taken literally.
You're insane, Chad. You know that? Absolutely insane.
I'll make sure to send a nice arrangement to your funeral from my new corner office.
Even if I cared about this lousy job enough to kill for it, I couldn't choose one of my coworkers to...
Murder?
Yeah, that.
Well, you better think fast, because not all of your coworkers might be so squeamish.
Durable medical equipment, Bernice speaking. Yes, sir, I'll tell him. Hey, Chad, That was Mr. Valance. Yeah, just wanted me to let you know that his directive that one employee has to be axed applies to everyone in our department. You included.
Me? Included?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
You know what, Chad? I stand corrected. Picking someone isn't going to be hard at all.
Hey, Jesper, buddy, any chance I can get that frying pan off you?
No trading. You said it yourself. Remember?
Jimmy, pal, how about that paperweight, huh?
Oh, I don't know if my observational skills are up to making that sort of decision.
Gladys, lock the office door.
And finally, our third story, one that embodies the very spirit of the holiday season. A Christmas Eve family gathering by a roaring fireplace, one replete with feasting and laughter and goodwill.
Hi, honey.
Merry Christmas Eve, Mom.
We held dinner for you.
Oh, you didn't have to do that.
It's the night before Christmas. Of course we did. Didn't want you to go hungry.
But I'm already filled to bursting with holiday cheer.
Yeah, I can smell it.
And Merry Christmas to you, Dad.
How are you, Cheryl?
Just trying to follow your life lesson about drinking well.
No, what I taught you was that if you don't drink well, then don't drink. And you don't drink well.
Which is why I need so much practice.
Wait, you didn't drive here in your condition, did you?
In my condition? What? Am I pregnant? I don't even have a name picked out. Will it be a boy or a girl?
You know what I mean.
Don't be silly. I took a cab.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah, I left it parked out front. Sorry about the mailbox, Dad.
You stole a cab?
She didn't steal a cab, Beth.
It's hard to know what she might do when she's like this.
Are you going to just stand there all night letting the warm air out?
Oh, actually, it isn't that the warm air is going out. It's just a balancing out of heat density. Thermodynamics.
Whatever. Nice of you to show up, Cheryl.
Nice to be missed, Nancy.
I'll let everyone know we can finally eat.
Like Daniel, walking into the lion's den. And you wonder why I have a few drinks before these merry holiday gatherings.
Yeah. I'm going to the kitchen to finish up.
And I'm going to go get some more firewood.
Merry Christmas Eve, everyone.
Aunt Cheryl.
Oh, there's my favorite niece.
I heard that.
I mean, one of my favorite nieces.
You might as well just say one of my two nieces. Hello, Auntie.
Hi, Lilith.
Lilith. That is such an interesting name from the Bible, isn't it?
She's named for her mother, the succubus.
Dad!
Oh, it's so good to see you.
It is so good to see you too, Junebug. Wait, can I still call you that? I mean, you are a full-grown married woman now.
I think it's probably okay. Aunt Cheryl, you remember Dave?
Hi, Cheryl.
Of course I remember Dave. Your wedding wasn't that long ago.
Frankly, I'm surprised you remember much of anything from it, given what a good time you had at the reception.
Mom!
No, that day I'll always remember.
Dave and I wanted to thank you again for your gift to us.
Yes, thank you. That was very generous.
Too generous.
I just wanted to help you two get a good start, is all.
Wish I had known you were so flush, sis. I could have used that kind of help when Lilith and I lost our house after her mother ran out on us.
But then, I'm not her favorite niece.
It's just that I know how tough it can be for a young couple trying to build a life together.
And just how would you know that?
Now, Nancy.
You've never been married.
Or even close.
Yeah, but you two have been hitched enough times to make up for me.
Dad sure has.
Hey.
Well, don't worry, Cheryl, dear. I'm sure you'll meet the right guy any day now.
Yeah, one that shares your interests. You know, gluck, gluck, gluck.
Jesus, no wonder she drinks before these family get-togethers. You two are like a couple of hyenas after a gazelle.
Oh, we're just kidding around with our little sister.
Sure, just a little bit of friendly ribbing between siblings. And she loves it. Right, Cheryl?
Of course. What's not to love? Now, if someone could just pull this knife out of my back.
Well, I'll do the honors. We're gonna need to carve up that Christmas turkey, right?
Two. One.
Yeah.
Zero.
I'm gonna go see if Beth needs help getting the food on the
table. Yeah, me too.
And I'll give Rob a hand with that firewood.
Alrighty. Dave and I were going to wait until tomorrow to share the news, but I couldn't wait any longer. We're going to have a baby!
Oh, Junebug, that's wonderful news! I'm so happy for you!
And you didn't even tell me your own mother until now?
We just found out for certain this afternoon.
My, what a Christmas miracle.
It really is. Congratulations to you and Dave.
You know, Dave and I were talking. If we have a girl, we'd like to name her after you. I mean, if that's okay.
Of course, be okay. I'd be honored.
So you're gonna name your baby Mai Tai?
Or Fuzzy Navel?
Mom! Why do you have to do that?
It's okay, Junebug.
It's just a joke, June.
It's not funny.
So does that mean you'll name the baby after me if it's a boy?
Time to eat!
Saved by the dinner bell.
Oh, Cheryl, do you mind sleeping in the attic on the futon?
Sure. No problem.
Good. Nancy and Scott decided to stay over tonight, too. So I'll put them in your old room.
Great.
Won't that be fun? All of us under one roof, just like when we were kids.
Oh, be still my heart.
Fabulous. The attic still has those exposed rafters, right, Dad?
Yeah, why?
Oh, no reason. Just let me borrow some rope from the garage and I'll be all set.
Paul, you want to help her with that? You should be good with knots. You were in the Boy Scouts.
Oh, all of you, shut up and eat.
Begin landing operation. Firing retro rockets. One and two.
Midnight, and I haven't slept a wink. Ugh. I wonder if Mom has any sleeping pills in the medicine cabinet. Who are you? A friend of Lilith's?
No. I'm not a friend of anyone.
Oh. Sorry, I thought maybe you were Lilith's new fella or something, given the all-black getup.
You were mistaken.
Story of my life. Listen, if you're a burglar, let me give you some free advice. Get out now.
I'm not a burglar.
No, I mean it. There's a house full of people downstairs, and my father's very much the shoot-first type.
I told you, I am not a burglar.
Then who are you? And why are you here?
I can respond to both questions with one answer. I am the Angel of Death.
The serial killer?
No, not the serial killer.
Well, you're definitely not Joseph Mengele.
No, I'm the actual Angel of Death.
Oh, thank goodness.
I'm serious.
And you think I'm not? I've been waiting for you most of my life.
Well, then I'm sorry to disappoint you. I'm not here for you, Cheryl Sinclair.
Then who have you come for? Mom or Dad? I mean, not that I want you to take either of them, but... Well, they've both had a good run, and Dad's been on borrowed time since he kept smoking, even after his open heart surgery.
Neither. I am here for June Forsythe.
June? My Junebug?
Yeah.
No. This has to be a mistake.
It is no mistake.
No, it has to be. She's 20 years old.
So? Newborns die every day.
But she's going to have a baby.
No. She's not.
No. No, you can't take her.
I can, and I will.
But why? Why her?
That is not for me to decide. I claim those who I am called upon to claim. That is all I know, and that is all I need to know.
I won't let you.
And how do you propose to stop me? I am everywhere, every second of every day.
There must be a way.
There is not. Once I enter a home, I do not leave alone.
What? What if you took someone else in her place?
Who? Your father? You seemed eager enough to push him into his grave.
No. Me.
You'd have a better chance of convincing me to take your father.
But why not? I mean, why not me instead of June?
Because even if your relationship with the girl fit the parameters for one of our very rare exceptions, why would I? You're not making any sort of heroic, selfless sacrifice at all. You want to die.
No, that's not true.
You just said as much not 2 minutes ago when I introduced myself.
I only said that because I always blurt out something dark when I'm nervous.
And I suppose you were nervous earlier when you implied that you were going to hang yourself?
You saw how the evening was going. What do you think?
I think you have a subconscious death wish. You joke about ending your own life because deep down you want to die. And then you drink in excess to speed yourself towards that goal.
But I don't want to die. I don't.
Which is why you drove here drunk tonight and parked around the corner so your parents wouldn't know.
Okay, that was a stupid thing to do. But family get-togethers are hard enough as it is, and around the holidays, it's even worse. You know, I think too much about all the goals that I'd set for the year that I didn't meet. But when the new year comes, you know, things are better. I get caught up in the promise of a new year, the chance of a better me.
Even though you end each and every year with your list of goals unfulfilled?
What can I say? Hope springs eternal.
So, you really don't want to die?
No, I don't.
Then, why are you offering to take the girl's place?
Because June is the most important person in the world to me.
You may think that, but your relationship with her simply doesn't fit the guidelines needed to even consider allowing a substitution. Mother or father only.
But I feel as close to her as if she was my own daughter.
Ugh, why? Huh? Because you took her to the zoo once when she was six?
Because I've done everything I could to help her along in life. When she had chickenpox, I took 2 weeks unpaid off work to stay with her. When her mother was between husbands and in a car accident, I had June come live with me. When she had the chance to go to an arts magnet school, I anonymously donated a grant to cover her tuition.
And when she got married, you gave her the money you'd been saving for the down payment on a house.
Yes!
Why? Why would you do that, Because you'd given up on the idea of ever having a home, a family of your own?
Because she's the one bit of light in this whole damn family!
That's a bit dramatic.
It's the truth. Just look at us. Nancy's a hate-filled shrew. Paul's an irresponsible womanizer. Lilith, who knows what her deal is. And me, I'm a failure with the best of intentions and the worst follow-through. June is the only one of us who's ever going to amount to anything. And now you want to end her life just as it's beginning?
It's not about what I want. It's about what is.
It doesn't have to be. I'll go.
I'm sorry, but
I will go with you right now.
No, I...
Please, don't do this. I am begging you.
This goes against my better judgment, but I'm going to grant your request.
You'll take my life?
Yes.
And June, she'll be okay?
She'll be okay.
Thank you.
There's nothing to thank me for. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
It's done. I lied to you, Miss Sinclair. You see, I was here to claim you all along. Contrary to what I told you, I have no discretion as to whom is taken by death. None at all, ever. But sometimes I do have just the slightest bit of leeway as to how. It was foretold that you would die tonight from an accidental overdose of sleeping pills, a pointless end to what you considered a pointless life, and that seemed too cruel, especially at Christmas time. So, I wanted you to see that your life has had meaning. Without your kindness, your attention, that girl would have turned out just like her mother. And without your generosity, she and her husband would be dreading the child who is coming rather than celebrating. And so, I wanted to give you a gift, to let you meet your end with grace, with courage, believing that you had made the supreme sacrifice for the one you loved best. June was never the only bit of light in your family. I hope you saw that at the end. Rest in peace, Cheryl.
So ends A Very Suspenseful Christmas by John C. Alzadek and Dana Perry Hayes. Tonight's story of Suspense. Suspense is produced by Blue Hours Productions and recorded at Melrose Music in Hollywood, California. Tonight's radio drama was written especially for Suspense by John C. Alzadek and Dana Perry Hayes. It's beginning to look a lot like Dagon, starred Amy Pemberton as Daphne, Athusina Duran as Hermione, Melody Peng as Grace, Darren Jacobs as Captain Frank, and Richard Tatum as the High Priest. Have a Hacking Whacking Christmas starred Rick Fetterman as Chad, Vita Ghaffari as Chloe, Camden Singer as Gladys, Rocky Serda as Jesper, Deneen Melody as Violet, Steve Moulton as Jimmy, and Christina Nichols as Bernice. Hark the Deathly Angel Sing starred Cheryl Texiera as Cheryl Sinclair, Armin Taylor as the Angel, Jane Casserly as Nancy Mueller, Dan Flood as Paul Sinclair, Damon Crawl as Rob Sinclair, Marlena Martin as Beth Sinclair, Mike Gaglio as Scott Mueller, Nathan Turner as Dave Forsyth, and Venice Parker as Lilith Sinclair. I'm your host, Damon Crawl. Happy holidays from all of us at Suspense.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
Hey there, my name is Callum Ming, the Executive Director of BC Athlete Voice. We're an athlete-focused organization helping British Columbia's athletes become their best. How do we do that? Well, if you're a BC athlete, we can help you with pretty much everything related to leadership, advocacy, and education. For example, we can help you find funding, start a new athlete group, or develop better public speaking skills. It's all at bcathletevoice.ca. And don't forget to look for us on Twitter and Facebook by searching BC Athlete Voice. Check it out.
Tonight, we take pleasure in bringing you Suspense, a weekly anthology of notable melodramas from stage and screen, fiction and radio, presented each week to bring you to the edge of your chair, to keep you in suspense.
Is he still back there?
Yes.
How could he still be following us?
I don't know.
It's all in your head. You've been seeing things since last night.
Can you blame me? I thought we came here to see sights, not to read some cursed play about a monster dressed in yellow rags.
I don't know what you're complaining about. We've probably seen half of Paris while we've been trying to lose this guy.
It's not funny!
Stop shouting! And anyway, the play's not cursed. It's just supposed to drive readers to madness is all.
Driving people mad doesn't qualify as cursed.
That's just an old superstition. Besides, there's probably not even anyone back there.
Then go look for yourself!
No, I don't want to.
Well, since you're too chicken to look, you'll just have to take my word for it. This same man has been following us all day. Tall, very thin, dressed in tattered robe of some sort.
Have you seen his face?
No, he's wearing a hood.
A hood? Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. I just looked at him.
The Church of St. Barnaby is just up ahead. Let's duck in there.
What's going on, Isabella?
Nothing's going on. We lose him in the crowd.
This wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season, that thou givest them they gather, thou openest
thine
hand.
What are we going to do?
I told you, Gloria. We'll wait till the Lent services are over and then slip away from him in the crowd.
But what if it doesn't work?
And return to their dust.
I feel like you know something you're not telling me.
I don't know anything.
I don't believe you.
That's not my problem.
Tell me!
There is nothing to tell.
I wish I hadn't let you talk me into reading that King in Yellow.
You're the one who found it in that old bookshop.
But you're the one who insisted we had to buy it.
It's one of the rarest works of literature in the world. It was a miracle that we found a copy.
Well, it sure doesn't feel like a miracle right now.
Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord.
This should be the end. Get ready to mix into the crowd. What the?
It's him! That strange man! He's at the organ!
Tall, very thin, hooded, dressed in tatters. Tatters. Of yellow. Like the King in Yellow from the play.
What?
We must have summoned him somehow by reading his play.
Summoned who?
The King in Yellow.
You mean the actual King in Yellow?
Yes.
But how can that be? He's just a fictional character.
No, he's not. He's standing right there.
No.
Believe your eyes, Gloria.
What are we gonna do?
I don't know, but we can't panic.
We can, huh? You just watch me. Let's go!
We have to stay here. We'll be safe as long as we are on holy ground.
What are you talking about? Safe on holy ground? He's here inside the church playing the organ!
But he hasn't done anything to us. Maybe he can't.
Or maybe he's just toying with us. You can stay and find out. I'm leaving.
Gloria! I have an idea.
Whatever it is, make it quick. I can't go much further.
There is a pedestrian path between the Rue du Ren and the Rue du Dragon called the Court of the Dragon. Coming up, he has big iron gates. Both ends. We can run in, lock the gates behind us.
How do we know? Gates will stop him.
What other choice do we have? Okay, the Court of the Dragon, coming up on the left. You take the left gate, I'll take the right.
It won't move.
Push harder.
I'm pushing as hard as I can. The gates won't move at all. He's almost here.
Okay, we'll run down through the court of the dragon and out onto the Rue du Dragon.
The gate! It's locked!
But how can that be? The bolts are on this side and they aren't in place.
What are we going to do?
Maybe one of these side doors.
He's here. Isabella!
Don't look at him. Whatever you do, don't look at his face.
I can't help myself. I have to look.
No!
Along the shore, the cloud waves break. The twin suns sink behind the lake. The shadows lengthen in dread Carcosa. Strange is the night where black stars rise and strange moons circle through the skies. But stranger still is lost Carcosa. Songs that the Hyades shall sing, where flap the tatters of the king, must die unheard in dim Carcosa. Song of my soul, my voice is dead. Die thou, unsung, as tears unshed shall dry and die in lost Carcosa.
That hooded man, he's gone! It's the regular organist once again! We must have fallen asleep during the sermon is all.
And dreamed the same dream of being pursued and caught by the king in yellow.
You had it too?
Yes.
Oh, no. But even if it really happened, we must have escaped from him.
Did we escape? Or is it that while our bodies sat safe in the church, he was hunting our souls in the court of the dragon?
That dazzling light. The church. Disappearing.
Black stars in the sky, completely alien. Moon dripping with the spray from the Lake of Hali. And in the distance, the towers of Dread Carcosa.
You don't mean...
It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
So ends In the Court of the Dragon by John C. Alsodek and Dana Perry Hayes. Tonight's story of Suspense. Suspense is produced by Blue Hours Productions and recorded at Melrose Music in Hollywood, California. Tonight's radio drama was adapted for radio by John C. Alsodek and Dana Perry Hayes from the short story by Robert W. Chambers. Athelstana Duran was Isabella. Deneen Melody was Gloria. Joe Ackman was the Monsignor, and John C. Alsodek was the King in Yellow. I'm John C. Alsodek. Next week at this time, tune in again for another study in Suspense.
Yeah.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah 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 blah.
Explosion!
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band swag. All types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
And actually, we're located in the Nest now, although it is serving as the de facto Student Union Building. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. My name is Brian McDonald, and that's all the time we have for Scott.